Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Talking now to Martin John, who's written a book called Get Clean, and it's about getting clean from a really quite serious cocaine habit, which took basically his life went from rags to riches and back to rags again. And the main reason for that was addiction to the white powder. It's a very honest book, and I'm delighted to welcome Martin to the show. Morning, Martin.
Good morning, sir.
Nice to talk to you. For your story, we really need to go back at the beginning, because that's kind of the point of the story, isn't it, really? That you grew up in a family that wasn't rich, but you managed to make yourself a self-made millionaire by the age of 33.
Yeah, I mean, I come from East London, E3, actually, Mile End.
You're a proper Cockney, aren't you, then? Because you're in the sound of the Bow Bells, aren't you, basically?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, we it's not one of the sort of, it ain't going to be a sob story, but yeah, I mean, my background and family, obviously, my father was a bit of a character, to say the least.
Yes.
To say the least. He makes my story look like it's a walk in the park, to be honest. But basically, yeah, we lived in the bottom of the house, the normal surroundings, outdoor toilet, no electric, no water, etc. It goes on and on and on. And obviously, my father, I won't go into specific details, he's still alive and I respect him, but
yeah.
He was a bit of an unusual character and spent many years, unfortunately, in and out of prison, which is, you know, I'm not going to hold that against anyone. But
yep.
That was the sort of upbringing I had. Regarding schooling, I didn't go to school. I went out with my father on the lorry, learning the scrap metal trade.
Right.
And so it went from there to a point, when I was a young man, I said to myself at a very young age, I remember saying to myself, you know, I want to be somebody.
Yeah.
I want to get out of this doom and gloom and this poverty-stricken lifestyle. I want to try and make something of myself. And obviously in the book, it tells you the journey that I went through, from sort of getting to know the trade of the scrap metal and being a very sharp man, from learning, you know, like being streetwise from me father, which is priceless, to say the least.
Of course, yeah.
I basically sort of slipped into selling a little bit of furniture. Very young age, like, believe it or not, pine furniture. You know, it was a very fashionable furniture, wasn't it, many years ago?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Everyone bought it all around the world, to be honest. So,
yeah.
I started off, come across a little shop, a little bit of furniture by luck, sort of like mooching about in the lorry with my dad, up to our everyday antics. And I opened the little shop up, which is, I think it was about £60 a week at the time. It was in Crouch End, and it went from selling 2 bits of furniture, 3 bits of furniture a week, like just to scrape a living. It just went mental. I mean, within
amazing.
A year, I managed to buy a brand new Pulse 911.
My God! Is this all out of the one shop?
Well, out of the one shop, and then I moved from that. And believe it or not, it's a funny story, I think it is. I actually called the first shop Strike It Lucky. Yeah. I know, yeah. And I carried that through, and then as time progressed and I sort of found more manufacturers and done my own work and made myself busy, hungry for a pound note, so to speak, it went from one shop to four, and then eventually, at the peak, I had over 50 shops.
Amazing. I remember when it really was a thing, wasn't it? I remember there was a pine shop at the end of my street, and every time I used to go past it, I used to think, my God, how much money are these things going for? There were serious amounts of dosh being spent on this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was goes through trends, you know. It was like reproduction furniture, and
yeah.
It was pine, like now it's all this sort of like Art Deco stuff, and you know. But the thing is, the money come to me. I don't really think I knew how to channel it. I'm not blaming the addiction for that, because that'd be a very stupid thing and an easy way out.
Yeah,
but because I'm a man from East London, you know, and really am from a rough background. When you hear people say, oh, I'm from London, I'm from a rough background, they grew up in like a 5-bedroom house.
Yeah.
So they don't really know the score,
yeah.
No disrespect to anyone.
We
really did know it is hard and it's you are. But when that money came in, it came in at such a rate. I didn't know what to do with it, because I spent it, but I didn't know how to channel it. I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
And it sort of like, without chasing the story too quick, it spiraled out of control.
Well, I get that, because it's almost like somebody who becomes a pop star on X Factor really quickly. You know, a week before, they were a nobody, and they can't deal with what's put in front of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, as I said, from an upbringing from my dad, and I've never told him this, he's still alive, he's 91.
Bless
him. He's still alive. My mum passed away and went to her, unfortunately. My father's still alive, but from the upbringing that I had from my father, you know, I've got to say, it's a priceless commodity. You can't buy experience, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. You learned in the school of life, I think is a good way to put it, Martin.
Well, yeah, you do. And I thought, when I was sort of like about, I think I was 20, I fucking remember, I mean, my memory's not brilliant, but it's fairly good. But when I think my first car, which is irrelevant, but when I got my first Ferrari, I had a tear in my eye. I picked it up and I had a tear in my eye and said, like, you know, I've actually done it, I've made it. But what I didn't realise, all the streetwise knowledge my father taught me, which is priceless to this day, anything that I come across, I thought, yeah, you know, I'm unstoppable. Nothing's going to stand in my way. But I did not know about the addiction with cocaine and alcohol, and that, it absolutely nailed me dead right in my spot.
Yeah. Just before we get onto that, I just want to ask you, as somebody who plays golf, I just want to hear from you about your career or not as a professional golfer. You were an assistant pro, weren't you? And you were sacked from your job after just one day.
That is correct. Yeah, I mean, I've never really brought that to the forefront too much in the book, or too much about when I've had interviews, etc., etc. But as a man from, I say, no schooling, I got into golf through one of my father's rather undesirable characters. He gave me a couple of golf clubs.
Amazing.
I started to play golf when I was 11 to get away from the upheaval of the upbringing, etc., etc.
Yeah.
So I used to escape to and play a bit of golf over the park and, you know, just get away and try and find myself, get away from that atmosphere and that environment, unfortunately. But I managed to latch onto golf, and to be very truthful about it, at the age of 15, I was off a one handicap.
Wow!
One of 15. Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah. And that's true, and that is a true story. It went from strength to strength. I got sponsored. And then someone put me into a golf club. They managed to find me a job. I mean, I was a little bit of an unusual character from East London. You know, when I was playing golf many years ago, it was the Dad's Army game.
Yeah.
Struck on me going in there, you know, with me sort of me wire boy sayings and me character. And I got a job. Someone got me a job at, believe it or not, Chigwell Golf Club.
Right.
Back in the day, like, you know, it really was like, you know, the professional. I had a pair of plus fours on, a little pair of glasses.
Brilliant.
And basically, yeah, without going into full detail, because I'm on radio, I went in on the first day and I had a pair of jeans and he said something to me and I basically said to him, told him what to do with his job. But possibly, it was one of the biggest mistakes of my life.
How interesting. And after that, did you stop playing completely? Has that kind of put you off?
Well, I didn't stop playing, but obviously when I was still working with my dad and I was going out and I did get another, I got another job, which I don't think it's in the book, I got a part-time job as an assistant pro in a place called Swanley in Kent.
Wow.
But the money was like £20 a week.
Yeah.
And most of my friends, you know, when you get into that sort of like 17, I think I was 17, that sort of age, you know, your mates are going out and, you know, you was having girlfriends, et cetera, et cetera. And I was missing out. So I ended up, the money that I was getting, I started to go out, et cetera, et cetera. And then obviously the golf took a step backwards, which to this day I still regret it, because I think I had a talent there that could have been, a very powerful tool to have in my bag. But I mean, that's history, but
interesting.
I did play very rarely, but obviously that went to the back foot. You know, as I started going out more with my father and obviously the business that I got into, I started to sort of concentrate on earning money and moving forward in my life.
Interesting stuff. Really interesting. Well, you've talked about it there briefly. There you are. You've got all this money. It's coming out your ears, basically. And a lot of people fall into exactly the trap that you fell into, which was you got the money. You're probably getting a bit bored by it all. And you start drinking, and then that starts into a cocaine addiction, and it's a story that's quite common, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, I mean, I'll be very honest about this. I mean, a lot of people that I've spoke to and I've had meetings with, and I've sat in sort of group meetings with people. I like to listen to different people's stories, but I mean, I've found that a lot of people, including myself, say, you know, when they have a drink or they have a little bit of gear or a little bit of coke, whatever name you want to call it, like it's an avenue to escape. Now, the thing is, with myself, when I was of a young age, I did experience it. I did try it when I was sort of 18, 19. It wasn't as easy as to obtain as it was then, as it is now, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, it's ridiculous. But, I mean, I experienced it, and, you know, it never sort of grabbed hold of me because I was still going out with my dad, so I was still, you know, on the street learning about life in general. So it wasn't my main forte. But obviously, as I progressed in the furniture and started to earn money, I sort of got involved in going out a bit more, socialising a bit more, because I had the necessary funds to do so.
Yeah.
And, you know, it went from sort of a couple of lines on a Friday night, et cetera, et cetera, with your pals or your restaurant, wherever you are, and then it went to like a gram a day, and it went up and up and up. And the thing is, I would say this to anyone that's listening, what it does, it don't just grab hold of you, it kidnaps you, and it steals your identity.
Mm.
And it is a very difficult thing to explain on a radio broadcast or one-to-one. It's very deep and dark. But the thing is, I thought I was a very sharp young man, and my addiction, it wasn't just that I had all that money. I mean, what happened was, to be honest, I think when I got to the pinnacle of my success, and I thought, you know, I've actually made something of myself, I mean, I should have avenued in a different direction, but the coke came in, and I've got to be honest, it stopped me dead.
What was it, Martin? Can you describe, I mean, when people drink alcohol, they do it for various reasons. I do it to get drunk so they can forget something, or they become happy drunks or whatever it may be. What did cocaine give you that you weren't getting having all this money?
Well, I mean, you know, if you ask that to most people are going to say this, which is a stupid statement. It really is. You know, it makes me feel powerful. You know,
right.
If you end up having a couple of lines of coke or a couple of grams or in my case, half a van load of it,
yeah.
You end up in someone's kitchen or wine bar talking like a gangster. You know, you're the king of England.
Yeah.
You know, you feel strong. You feel powerful. You
yeah.
feel that you're invincible. But the only problem you've got with it, whether you're a male or a female, take it. And we all know, any listeners that are tuned at the moment, they're going to relate to this. At the end of the night, it doesn't matter whether you're a barrister, a scallywag, a millionaire, a rock star, or a man on the street. You all end up with the same dramas, panic attacks,
yeah.
sadness, loneliness, and a very dark place to be at.
Yeah, that's well put. And of course, the side bit of this is that it's blooming expensive when you're on the kind of habit that you were on.
Well, it is expensive and all, and this is another thing that I always say. I mean, I've got certain sounds people stand by me and say, you always said that, Martin. But I'll say this, you know, I find it frustrating and I find it upsetting that, you know, you're actually paying your hard-earned cash. Like, again, whether you're a stockbroker or whether you're a man that drives a van for a living, whether you spend £200 a week, or in my case, without being rude, I was spending £3,000
at the worst point.
Right? You're paying someone to feel rough, to feel insecure,
yeah.
to feel...
Yes.
Yeah, think about that.
Yeah.
So when you say it's expensive, people always say, oh, yeah, I'm going to let my hair down, I'm going to have a blast, you know, it's a Friday night, me and the girls are going to get a couple of grams, they're going to enjoy ourselves, but that's not the case. The first 5 or 10 seconds, you might think you're powerful, but then slowly but surely, you go into a decline, and we all know what happens, that you can't sleep. It's just a nightmare, a never-ending nightmare.
Yeah. And in amongst all this, you're losing your family, I would guess. I mean, I think you missed your son's childhood, really, because of coke.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got two sons. I've got other children, which I wouldn't really want to discuss on the radio, because it's a very sore point. And to this day, it still hasn't been repaired. It ain't never going to be repaired, unfortunately.
Mm.
There's certain things in my life that I couldn't repair. You know, I've done my utmost to do what I can. But obviously, regarding my own two boys, Martin and Albert, I didn't spend a lot of time as their dad. Most of the time, I was downstairs getting completely off my head. And didn't go to any schools or functions because I was too off my head to do so. I mean, I'm embarrassed about that. I miss my son's childhood. Luckily enough, for the grace of God, they stood by me, even to this day. But I miss many, many years of seeing my children grow up from boys to men, all down to the white powder and the drink. I put that before my children. I can admit that only on radio. People are going to abuse me for it. I know that. But I'm very honest. I like to be very upfront about the addiction and very harsh. Very brutal, because it's not a joke, it ain't a game.
No, absolutely. And so you could have gone one of two ways there. You could either have descended into an even worse state, or you could have changed. What was the moment, what was the catalyst that made you say enough is enough?
Well, I mean, to cut it down, obviously, you know, I couldn't tell the whole story because obviously in the book, but I mean, to cut it down, I mean, I had many, I use that word benders, you know, I was up for 3 or 4 days, a week, 2 weeks, I woke up in places you'd never believe, don't know how I got there, etc., etc., etc. Many users will understand. But at one particular moment, I remember I had sort of a 3 or 4 day bender with undesirable people in my house, male and female, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
There was powder everywhere, drink everywhere, you know, I've been up for days and days, my heart's coming out of my chest. Don't know what I'm talking about. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And I had to walk out of the house because I thought, again, I was going to have an heart attack. I walked around the block, and I'll never forget it. It's in the book, and it's a very prominent story. It sticks to me to this day. I laid on a bench, almost passed out. And when I looked up, I see a church, like the top of a church. And I thought, thank God, it's ended. You know, this has come to an end. This is it. I've gone. About 15 minutes later, I opened my eyes, I'm still there. And I thought, no, I'm still alive. This is a true story. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was 20 stone overweight.
Wow.
I was 20 stone in weight. I had no top on. I looked dreadful. So I got up, was walking back to the house, staggering back to the house. I never got a car pulled up with three young fellas in it. And they looked at me and laughed because I looked such a mess in the state. So basically, that was a massive shock for me. I got back to the house, told people to leave in a rather, we had a few disagreements, but they left eventually.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget this. There was probably about £200 worth of coke left, so maybe like £2 or £3 in them days. I've done the lot in one line.
Wow.
I thought, that's it, I've had enough. Done the lot in one line. I can admit it on radio. I woke up a day later on the floor, not in a nice way, I mean, work it out for yourself.
Yeah.
And then when I sort of moved my head round, I see a picture of my mother. And that... I basically got up, looked in the mirror at yourself, 20 stone, and basically broke down. And that was the turning point. That was probably the worst point in my life that I realised, not just about stopping, but look what I've come to, look what I've come from, look how it's grabbed hold of me, a young character, you know, a bit of a wire boy, but a likeable man, made it, and I've ended up like this. It was a very hard-hitting moment, to be honest with you.
And then, of course, the story of what happens next is the kind of main point of the book, and that is about getting clean and cutting yourself off from the world and dedicating your life to get clean through a healthy diet, bodyweight exercises. And in the book, I've heard you quoted as saying, if somebody is a user and they stick to your plan, they would themselves get clean. Otherwise, you're giving the money back for the book.
1,000,000%. I mean, I'll say this to many people that approach me. I do get a lot of messages from all around the world, and I'm grateful for everyone that gives me their time and their input. If you stick to the plan, it's like anything else in life. If you stick to the plan, you will get there. But I'll say this to anyone. If you look at my six-week plan, it wasn't written by a doctor or a man that's in therapy, no disrespect to people. Yeah. I wasn't taught by a nutritionist or how to get fit. You know, everything in that plan is exactly what I've done when I was a 20 stone plus man, overweight, out of control, a massive cokehead, an alcoholic. They're all my own plans.
Yeah.
And it worked for me, and I would suggest this to anyone that's listening, any age or no matter how deep you are in your addiction, if you stick to the plan, it's just common sense. I'm going to say this, it's so simple, it's just common savvy.
Mm.
That's it. You know, and I would say, and I would give people their money back, because I know up to date, I think it's about 96 people I've got clean. And the thing is that I have to express this very, very clearly to people. It's not about just stopping, because anyone can just say, I'll stop. The hardest part of it is to maintain it.
Of course. And what about now? So what is life like now for you, Martin?
Well, life is like now. I mean, I've been clean. I think it's coming up to around about 5 years. Sometimes my memory, obviously through the addiction, things are going to be sort of like hard hitting and they are going to be long term. Sometimes I can't always remember exactly the dates, but I'm sort of like coming up 5 years clean. I mean, I train 4 to 5 days a week, getting back very quickly to when I started getting clean. I've got to be honest with you. I've disconnected from 99.9% of the people I know are users. They still are. I've had to walk away from people. I shut myself off for 6 months in my house. I even moved. I lost touch with everyone. It was very, very difficult. It was a nightmare for me. But I would say this to anyone listening. If you're thinking that you can't go alone and get clean, you're wrong. It can be done. Now, I've had this conversation very briefly with people about, you know, like they go to meetings and group meetings, 12 steps and all that, Alcoholic Anonymous. I'm never going to be disrespectful for them groups, because anyone else, people in my book, they're saints, they're gods. But what I would say, someone like myself from the street, I find a lot more people can connect with me because I've lived it and I'm approachable, and a lot of people do say to me, genuinely, Martin, like, you're telling me my own story. This is unbelievable. It's frightening. And that's why I say that, you know, the six-week plan, I will refund anyone's money, because I put my heart and soul into it. It nearly cost me my life. It has cost me my family ties, which are never going to be repairable. I'll take that on the chin as an old man and live with it. If I can help people see the light into the tunnel, it makes my journey more worthwhile. And, you know, I'm grateful to give advice to anyone on the planet. I really am.
Well, it's been a very honest chat, and I thank you for that, Martin. The book is even more honest. It's called Get Clean. Martin John is the author. Really appreciate your time today, Martin, and I'm sure you've kind of lit a spark in many people's heads as you were talking there. Thank you, Martin.
Can I just very quickly, if you don't mind, just say, it's not about punning the book. It's just if anyone is having problems and they want to sort of contact me, the best way to do it is go into my Instagram, which is Martin John Get Clean. If you click onto that and follow me, I'll send you emails, I'll connect with you, and I'll help you as much as I can.
Lovely offer. You're a star. Thank you, Martin. Lovely to talk
God
to
bless.
You. Take care. Thank Bye-bye.
You.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.